fresh every Tuesday
for MSPs around the world. This is Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
Hello and welcome to our special episode. Now, have you ever wondered whether or not trade shows are a good way for you to grow your MSP? In our special today, we are going to talk to an MSP owner who did a trade show last year. The results were pretty good. This year, he wants more. He's booked a bigger booth and he wants to 10x the return he gets from the trade show.
Paul Green's
MSP Marketing
Podcast
Special.
Hi, my name is Lyle Kirschbaum. I'm owner of Wired for the Future. We are a Toronto-based MSP in Canada. We are 15 people deep, two different locations, and we service about 3,000 endpoints on a monthly basis.
It's great having you on the show, Lyle, if only for your amazing Lego collection. Now, most of our audience are listening to this on an audio-only platform, so can't see your background. But if you do want to see, just nip onto YouTube. Go to youtube.com/MSPmarketing, and you'll see that Lyle has basically invested in some of the greatest creations that Lego has ever made. And let's be honest, Lego is making some good stuff right now, and they're all in his background. Maybe we should do a YouTube extra and actually explore your Lego and all the cool toys that you have for your staff. But anyway, that's for another day. Lyle, thanks for joining us on the show. Now, we're going to talk about events, and we're going to talk about how you can make events really profitable for your MSP, for any MSP. We've got some really clever ideas that we're going to throw around in the next 10 minutes or so. Before we do, let's add a little bit more context. So you've given us a good idea about your MSP there, where you're based and how many endpoints and clients you're looking after. How did you get into this in the first place? How long have you been doing it for?
So we've been around since 2001. For a long time, I was the one guy trunk slamming kind of guy. One of our clients at the time said, "You're really good. We're going to give you a little bit extra money. We need you to hire somebody so that when you go on vacation, we have some backup." And that worked really well. They did it then again, and they said, "We're going to give you a little bit more money. Do us a favor, grab another person." And we've kept growing since then. And like I said, we're now 15 people deep. We just opened our newest office, or our only secondary office in Ottawa, just so that we can concentrate on the clients that we had already up there. And then we're going after a whole bunch more. And one of our bigger clients is based up, has a bunch of offices up there that they want us to take care of.
Cool. So essentially you're expanding into areas where you're already looking after people. And that's, of course, giving you a footprint to go and get even more new clients, which is absolutely fantastic. So events, you and I were chatting about events and how can you get the most out of events. And that's when you very kindly offered to jump onto the podcast and have the discussion in public, which is brilliant. Thank you for that. So what kind of events are you doing? Tell us the kind of events, the type of business owners that go. And it's an obvious question, but it needs to be asked. What do you hope to get out of doing those kind of events?
So we've done a couple of events. The one that we're talking about today is a vertical specific event. So it's one of our verticals that we end up having a lot of clients in. We did their show last year. We had a 10-foot by 10-foot booth. We did some pretty, I guess, interesting stuff, or some stuff that kind of goes towards our logo, our brand. So we have orange and black. So we, you know, the orange card that's up there. So a lot of things are orange and black. So we ended up doing, okay, we'll be the orange popcorn company for this one. So, you know, the purple cow, I've, you know, heard it mentioned on your podcast and other podcasts. So we basically gave away orange gourmet popcorn to everybody who came into the booth. And basically we had the conversation. We had about 600 bags of popcorn. They were, you know, like three cups worth of popcorn each. They had, you know, an offer on it. And we tried to do it that way. You know, we had pens and we had flyers and stuff like that. It was okay. And maybe it was because the booth wasn't big enough to bring in enough people. So we've doubled down this year and are looking for maybe that little bit of help on what would be the next, how to bring more people in.
Yeah, sure. And that show you did last year with your 10-foot by 10-foot booth, about 600 bags of popcorn given away. So we can assume that's probably around about 550 people, because obviously some people will have taken a second bag, your staff will have eaten some.
Yep.
How many leads did you generate out of that? And did that actually generate any clients?
So we generated about 400-ish leads. We ended up closing on about three or four of them out of that. We had more discussions, but the ones that we ended up closing were about three or four different clients. Did it pay for itself? We broke even. Let's call it that. And my big trick was, it didn't make a difference if we broke even or not. I look at marketing as, at least our name is out there and they saw our faces and hopefully they remember us as that orange company.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's your definition of a lead that you got from that show?
So in this case, it was a dental show. So we were talking to either the dentists themselves or their office managers and stuff like that, and or their supplementary staff that said, oh yeah, we have a big, huge problem. Can you tried coming and fixing it? We'd take down the notes, then we'd reach back out and see how that kind of progressed. But it was more of, I was happy just having the conversations because we were there. Our largest client was there, so they were coming by. So it was a win-win anyways. Yeah. The trick is this year we're literally doubling and or probably tripling the amount of spend.
Yeah.
So how do we benefit from triple the spend? Because I don't think we'll get double the people.
No, okay, well, we'll come on to that because I have another question about that.
Yeah.
Let me ask my last question again, but I'm going to ask it slightly differently because I wasn't clear with my own language. That was my fault. When you say a lead, what do you define as a lead? So is it a case of, oh, this is Dr. Drill and here's his website and here's his number, or is it a case of someone's given you a business card, or have they said, oh, man, we need to speak to you guys, give us a call on Monday? So what sort of level of engagement have you had with these leads?
All of that and more. So we had a, you know, a stack of business cards. We had basically, with the trade show, they had given us, not given us, we had to pay for it, but a way to scan somebody's tag so that we would get their info and then we could actually write in the notes after that. There were two customers that we ended up getting. We literally had the conversation there. The trade show ended on Friday. On Saturday, we were literally doing work for them.
So the fact you can zap their badges, that's great. And we're going to come on to how we can see if we can maximize that a little bit. Just one, and by the way, the reason I have all of these questions will become clear in a second. And it's to do with events that I've done in the past. And actually, a lot of them were dental events as well, which is really interesting. So we'll talk about that in a second. When you zap someone's badge, what level of detail do you get typically?
We get everything that they had to put in to get their badge. So whether they were accredited or not accredited, their email address. Now, whether that was a real email address or somebody's throwaway email address, because we all know, and you know, as IT, you always want those emails. But we got the majority of the information that we needed to continue the conversation.
Okay, so this is really cool because there's a number of different areas that I think we can look at with this. And the reason I've been asking you all these questions, as I said, is because I've been there and done trade shows. So I had a business which I started in 2005, which seems like a very long time ago. I've only just clocked that's 19 years ago, which is making me feel very old. But I ran that business and it went through different iterations. It wasn't in the MSP space. It was just a general marketing business. And then over time, we discovered niching or niching, depending where you are in the world. And we moved into working with optometrists or opticians and then veterinarians and then dentists. Didn't like dentists, I'll be honest. I never really enjoyed dentists. So you're welcome to stick with a dentist.
No problem. I grew up, my dad was a dentist.
Lovely
it
people.
makes almost sense, right?
Lovely people, dentists. They're the best people in the world. anyway, so we had these three verticals and this is, I sold that business in 2016. So from around about 2013 to 2016, we hit the trade shows like hard. That was our core marketing strategy. We went to all the big shows. So obviously I'm in the UK, you're in Canada. They're going to be very similar shows. They'll have similar exhibitors. I bet I could reel off a load of dental names and you'll be like, yep, they're here. They own the software here. They have the X-ray machines here or whatsoever. It's all been globalized, all of this kind of stuff. But these, even though the people are different, the way they buy is slightly different from country to country. People are people, right? And they respond to the same kind of cues. So what we did, and we did around about 15 to 20 shows over a period of time, we got really good, like seriously good at hoovering up as many leads and as many prospects as we could. And I'm going to explain in a second what I see as the difference between the leads and the prospects. Let me just first of all ask you one more question, Lyle. You said you got around about 400 leads. How many people attended the show, do you think?
So what was stated by the producer of the show versus what actually walked through the door? Two separate things. Mm. We were told there were about 14,000 people coming through the door. About 8,000 of those would be dentists. I think maybe the amount of people that came through the trade show area was probably about 2,000 to 3,000. So a lot less.
Okay. Oh, I see. So they had they're there for like lectures.
They had professional. Professional services and stuff like that going on. Most were told to go through because they were all doing deals anyways, whether they were buying masks or, you know, drills and stuff like that. They should have been going through. Some do, some don't.
Yeah. Side note, if you get a chance to talk to the organisers, one of the very best shows that we ever went to is called the London Vet Show for veterinarians. And they got through that problem by having the lecture halls either side of the trade
show. On the other side.
So, and they deliberately did it so you had to walk through the trade to go and access the next lecture, which was really smart. They also had all the hospitality in the middle of the trade show as well. So if you wanted your free food and your coffee, again, you had to go through the trade thing. And that was the, and I think still is, the fastest growing.
Yeah, we were given no free food. It was free popcorn.
Yeah. But the dentist didn't know that, did they? Versus if the exhibitors have put all the food in the middle of the trade show and the dentists have been told to do that. Okay, I'm going to ask you another set of just random questions. And this is starting... Because what you've described there is it sounds like a great trade show, right? So you've got... Even if only 2,000 of them walk through, that's still a really good audience. And obviously, not all of them are going to become clients of yours. Not all of them are going to become leads and prospects. And I will explain the difference between the two in a second, but there's so much opportunity there. And I think, and obviously what I did in my last business, and that was selling marketing to dentists. What I did, I think some of the ideas you'll be able to pick up, because even though we were selling completely separate things to what you sell, it's a very similar start of a conversation, which is it is all about starting that conversation, reeling them in, getting them engaged, but also making sure you've got plenty of resource and plenty of follow-up, which is one of the things that I want to sort of dip into. So let's start there, actually, with the follow-up. So those 400 people that you got last year, what did you do with all of their contact details?
So we put it into our CRM at the time, and then we didn't email blast, because I absolutely hate that. It was more of a, we would reach out personally saying, thank you for coming to the booth, wanted to discuss such and such and such, whatever it was from our notes. And then we kind of followed that up with a couple of phone calls. Okay. I didn't want to be the pushy salesperson because, look, at some point, you'll either come or you won't come. It's not a big deal. We all know that the buying timeline is long in MSPs, and or sometimes it's absolutely short. We literally closed the deal on a Saturday because the trade show ended on Friday. We were working on the first client on Saturday because they literally were up a creek without a paddle. But it wasn't, did we follow up again? No. Should we? 100%.
Okay.
And again, it's all on that follow-up side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, this is quite exciting because just even if forget the trade show you're about to do, if we look at last year's trade show, there's 397 potential clients already sat there. And, you know, most of them are still going to be active. Even if they've given you a fake email address, you can go and Google their website and find out a new email address. I do think with all of these trade show things, you've got to have a pretty good level of follow-up on there. And I know what you just said, you don't want to be that guy that emails people, but the thing is, you've got to get the right message in front of the right person at the right time. So a dentist that went to that show last year maybe woke up in November, December last year. At that point, they were tearing their hair out. They'd had enough of their IT. They didn't, you know, they weren't happy with their existing MSP. And the problem is that you were not in front of them, and they will not have remembered you just from a 5-minute meeting and having some orange popcorn at the trade show sort of 6 months prior. So I would say the number one thing that you can, and you can start doing this today with that old data, because you own that data, right? You essentially, when you paid at that trade show and you blipped someone's badge, you acquired a piece of data. And even today, even after having done nothing with it for 10, 11 months, it doesn't matter. You can start doing that today. And you can start emailing them. I know you send out, or I don't know if you send out regular emails, but it's fairly easy for you to get hold of.
I send out a couple of things once a month.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I think, but emailing them on a regular basis and sending out edutainment emails, emails that are a mix of education and entertainment. The beautiful thing you've got, Lyle, is that you are talking to a very specific niche. You're talking to a vertical. And when you're talking to a vertical, you can make the content seem more relevant to them. So let's as an example, and I can give you a dentist one because obviously I know dentists a little bit, not as well as you do, but dentists typically, I don't know if this is the same in Canada, but here in the UK, they use a piece of software to run their business called a practice, a practice management system.
Practice management software.
Practice management software, yeah. So it's exactly the same. And let me guess that the number one piece of software in Canada is run by Henry Schein, which is a dental company.
It is. Dentrix.
Okay. Dentrix, there we go. Yep. So here it's called Software of Excellence. They just bought software all over the world so that they could dominate the entire planet for dentistry software, which is a smart strategy. So
it's not excellent.
Shh. We can't say that on a public podcast.
Shh.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
But even there, there's an example. So if you sent out an email that was about software and speed of software, you can just drop in the phrase practice management software, right? Because you don't even need to mention Dentrix or any of the hundreds of other software packages they choose. But just you saying practice management software makes you a dental insider. Now, because from the dentist's point of view, that's a phrase that they use all the time. It's the same as me saying PSA or RMM, right? I don't even need to say to spell it out. In fact, it's better if I just use the acronyms because that's what MSPs use. They use those acronyms. Yep. And so you, as someone being in that market who's not actually a dentist, you've kind of just got to pick up the lingo. And there's only actually four or five things to use. You know, how do the dentists, I always got this wrong with dentists, but veterinarians, for example, they called, here in the UK, they called their business The Practice. Whereas I think dentists called it The Clinic. And it was
same thing. Yeah, okay, well, yeah. Same, almost the same. You can go either way. It flip-flops, depending on the dentist.
Yeah, that makes sense. And actually, again, dentists here in the UK, they talk about chair time. I don't know if dentists in Canada, it's the same thing. And they for them, it's all about chair time, putting bits of metal into people so they can make money. And anything else that they're not doing that, they're not making money. So I think that follow-up, whatever your level you're comfortable with, you've got to do more follow-up. And you cannot, you said earlier, you don't want to be that pushy salesman. You could not be a pushy salesman if you tried, right? If it was down to me, if I was running your MSP, I'd be emailing them twice a week, all of them. They can unsubscribe, that's fine, but then I'll still send them stuff in the post. We'll phone them every 6 months because I know that people buy when they're ready to buy. You've got to get the right message in front of the right person at the right time. So, you know, you if you think you're being too aggressive, you're probably getting it right. Someone like me, if I'm being too aggressive, I need to dial it back a bit, right? But I'm a marketer. That's what I do. I don't think you could be too aggressive if you tried. So the job number one then is to start emailing or start communicating more regularly with last year's people. The cool thing is then this year's people, you've got a system just to dump more people into. I would say that one of your goals, and I know you've got, or I think you mentioned you have two or three verticals, but one of your goals should be to create your own database of every single dental business in Canada that you could do business with. So within your areas of Toronto and Ottawa and any other area you want. And actually, because another one of the beauties of being in a specific vertical is there's not that many of them, right? There's probably, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, something like that.
Keep going.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
You guys have Starbucks. We have Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
And as they say in Canada, and people who are listening in Canada will joke at this, there's usually a Tim Hortons on at least one or three or four corners. There are probably five or six dentists on all of those corners as well. There are more dentists than there are coffee shops in Canada.
That's a fact I didn't know. You learn something new every day, don't you?
I kind of messed myself up because now just everybody who's going to be in Canada can go after dental.
No, I think what you're saying, Lyle, was that there are no dentists. It's a terrible sector. They're awful people to work with.
Yeah, horrible. One or two, and they're all horrible to deal with.
But the reality is you couldn't have 10,000 clients anyway. So there's, just as is there in every vertical, there's plenty of business for everyone.
Yeah.
But the point is you can, and this should be a major mission solution for you is we're going to build our own database of a clean database, well-maintained, of every single viable dentist in our areas. And we're going to maintain that. We're going to keep in touch with them. And we're going to make sure that they know we are the dental experts, which brings me back to the trade show. Now, let me tell you very briefly what I did with my last business. And then you can tell me which of these bits you're A, already doing, or B, you think, actually, that's quite cool. So I'm going to gloss over some of the details because they're not quite relevant to our conversation. But essentially, whenever we went to a trade show, we took the completely opposite approach to most people. So most people, they go and hire a stand and they get it all professionally done up and they have all the AV and, you know, it always looks nice and they spend a fortune on it. And then they bring over their sales staff and so the first couple of hours, everyone stands around, looks a bit bored, and they're always complaining to the other stand holders, oh, there aren't many more other people here. And, you know, they'll all go off and go coffees and they'll be trying to do deals. And there's almost like a them and an us, isn't there? And any trade show as it goes on, the them and us, by them and us, I mean the delegates and the exhibitors. There's always seems like the wedge gets bigger between them and the exhibitors get more and more exasperated with the delegates. The delegates are like, I've passed you 15 times already. Don't talk to me. You know, there's that real wedge that comes between us. So we took a completely different approach where we said, right, we are going to the show to do two things. Number one, our single biggest goal is we're here for data collection. So we are going to zap so many badges, and I'll tell you how we did it in a second, but we're going to zap so many badges, and then we're going to take that data, we're going to put it into our system, our follow-up system, that system I was just talking about. So that was primary goal number one. Primary goal number two is then anyone who lingers, who wants to have a proper conversation, is we're going to hand them off to someone who knows what they're talking about. And the reason we did that is I actually hired promotional people to be, I almost treated it like support, right? So I had first line people who were just attractive people in their 20s. I hate to say it, but they were mostly women because most of the audience we were talking to was men, and that's just a sensible thing to do. Please don't write in and accuse me of being sexist. This was just good marketing. So we hired good, intelligent, young promotional people, but they were supervised. So I had a member of my team supervising them. So we'd have like five of these people, and I'm talking a stand the same size as yours, 10 foot by 10 foot, and we dot them all the way around the stand. And their number one job was actually getting people to the stand. So anyone that walked past, they would ask them a qualifying question. And it wasn't a case of they would just stand there and wait for someone to approach them, like most people do. We were on it. Yep. We always got complained about at every show. And in fact, I said to my team, if we didn't get complained about, we weren't being aggressive enough. That's what I mean by being aggressive. So the qualifying question they would ask would be something like, excuse me, are you the owner of the business? Or something like that. And we had different questions for different shows, because sometimes, like this trade show, you know, they say they've got X thousand dentists, but actually you find that the dentists never come in, it's the practice managers. So in which case your question might be, excuse me, are you a practice manager? Or do you own the business? You'll know that kind of question. But the point of that is you don't want to be talking to the dental nurses, you don't want to be talking to the people who are not either the decision maker or the influencer. So in a dental practice, the dentist that is the owner is the decision maker, but the practice manager is probably the influencer who's saying to them, I think you should go with this solution. I think that may be how it is in most businesses. So essentially, your promo person is qualifying, are they someone we should be talking to? If they are, and this is the cheeky bit, what we used to do, so we used to give away a free book. Right. And I know, Lyle, you have loads of printed material. So we didn't have them there. What we said was, oh, we've got a free book on growing your dental business. And yours might be, hey, we've got a free book about it'll be something technology based around dentists. And we can talk about that in a second if we need to. But literally, my team would say, oh, we've got this free book. Blip. They would blip their badge at that point and they'd say, I'm going to send one of these to you in the post. It should reach you next week. And then like one in 20 people would get offended and we'd apologize and we'd say, oh, we'll unzap you. We didn't. And then one in 50 would say, oh, can I have my book now? And we'd say, oh, actually, we don't have them here because we don't have storage space. And also, do you know what? If we give it to you now, it's going to go in that bag with all those pens and mouse mats and all that other junk that you're just going to chuck when you get home. It's going to go in the garbage. So actually, we'll post it to you in a week's time. So we were blipping, and we did have real books, and we did like thousands of post outs after all these trade shows. But the point being that was the number one goal. Blip, 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 blip. Okay. So if I went to a trade show with 14,000 people, well, let's say 2,000 people coming through, I would expect at least 1,000 from my team over a two-day event. And if they didn't get 1,000, then Paul would be angry. That would be the official thing. And we'd have little tally-ups. Every hour, we'd look and see. We'd like log in or look on the counter, depending what system they were using, and see what are we up to. And I was actually setting targets. And of course, I made it fun. You know, it was a case of, right, guys, if you can get another 30, you get to go on a tea break, you get to go out and have a vape or whatever you do, you get to have an hour off and go and get as many freebies. And we'd just turn it into games. So that was job number one. Sure. Job number two then was hooking people into decent conversations. So the reason you're hiring other people to do this stuff for you is because you and your senior techs, who probably were on the trade stand last year, you're too valuable for data capture, which is what those guys are doing. So instead, you guys are kind of hanging back a little bit, waiting to have quality conversations. And the way that you hook people into quality conversations is this. And this may require, I don't know how many weeks it is till the show, but you may need to do a little bit of adjusting to your visuals. What you want is you want a massive photo of one of your clients, like a big head of someone who looks like a dentist, and underneath it says, Dr. Drill, a dentist in, you know, whichever town. And then you'd have like a speech bubble, and this is done in a non-cheesy way, but a speech bubble coming out of him, and then there's a one-line quote from him. And he would say something like, and not that we're trying to put words in your client's mouths, but it would say something like, I wish I'd switched to Wired for the Future, which is your business name, years ago, our technology just works now. It's amazing, right? And obviously, right. It's got to be real words that they say, but if you could ring up one of your dentist clients and say, hey, I want to put a massive photo of you on the side of my stand. I want to turn you into a star. Are you cool with that? And dentists have egos, so one of them somewhere will say yes. And then you say, hey, I'd like to say a quote like this. Would you be cool with something like that? And again, some dentists will be absolutely fine with that. Now, the reason that's there is, let's think this through from the visitor's point of view. They're walking along. They've been stopped by one of your beautiful team. They've had their badge blipped. They look up, and there's a massive photo of a dentist, and it says, Mr. So-and-so, the dentist here. And then they can take in that quote in a quarter of a second of, I wish I'd switched years ago. My technology just works. And that little thing at the back of their head says, yeah, my technology doesn't work. And so what they do is they say to your first-line person, they kind of go, so what do you guys do? And that's the cue for you. That's literally right. where you're looking for that, and you come in and you grab them and you take them off for a conversation.
Social proof exactly for them.
Bingo.
Period, end of story.
Exactly that. And if you have other verticals that you work in, and this was the thing we did so well, to the extent we would do like three trade shows back to back over 3 weekends, and you wouldn't know it was the same stuff. All of our we always put the same size stand, and we always had the same visuals. And we had one panel which changed, and the panel that changed was we had one that was a vet, one that was a dentist, one that was an optician, and so as far as they were concerned, that was the one that was most relevant to them. So if you have other verticals, you could do exactly the same approach, which is really smart. But at its essence, that's it. You know, there are some other details that can go in there. But all we're really trying to do, and the real gold there is actually the blipping, is actually the data collecting. The conversations that you have, I'm hoping you'd still have another 400 conversations, but I'm hoping you'd have 1,000. I said earlier, I differentiate between leads and prospects. That's your differentiation.
Yep.
Anyone that gets blipped is a lead. A lead is anyone whose contact details you've got. A prospect is where you've actually started to have a conversation. And, you know, you're looking to have hundreds of conversations with prospects. That's where the immediate follow-up comes from. As you say, a couple of phone calls, a couple of emails. A lot of them is just people go to trade shows and they just talk and they don't really mean it. And that's fine. But you've now got a bunch of prospects and you've got even more leads. And that's what goes into your follow-up system and just gets worked and worked and worked and worked. So tell us roughly what you're doing from that, what you're not doing from that. Which of those things you think you could adopt?
Yeah, so we just hired a client, and I'm going to get it wrong, and she's going to yell at me, but we hired a CSR person for our company, and it was something that we've been lacking for years and years and years. We got called to the table, so we put that person in place, and literally all she's been doing is reaching out to clients, and it was, hi, this is who I am, this is what I'm taking over, just so that there's a little bit of a buffer between, you know, Lyle and the rest of the company. And we either got, oh my God, you guys are amazing, or, hey, can you take care of this job and this job and this job? So it kind of, it worked perfectly. And she's brought in what she was, you know, what she was hired to do.
Yeah.
And we're only just basically scratching the surface. We're going down that road even more. But yeah, we're going down that road. We did have some, I don't know if we had enough social proof. Let's go with that. My goal for 2024 is to get to 100 Google reviews, because we're seriously lacking on that. So says my SEO guy, and then put that social proof in place with our social media side of things.
Yeah. And I think you can't have too much social proof. And at a trade show, your brand is important to you, but to everyone else at the start of a relationship,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. So you want your existing clients to be able to find you, because they like to come in, just check in. But that's like three, isn't it? There's three people is going to be at that show, or whatever the number is.
Yep.
It's not a huge number. So yeah, the social proof is the biggest thing. And in fact, if I was doing a booth from scratch today, and I remember thinking about this 10 years ago, and we didn't do it for whatever reason, probably because we were using it across multiple shows, I would have all the branding would just be social proof. It would be Google reviews. Yeah. It would be Trustpilot, which is just a UK one. It would be, you know, testimonials. It would be photos of people. I'd have video on running on a TV. And so that conversation of what do you guys do would be a much easier thing to have, because immediately they can see you're used by other people like them. And that's the beauty of social proof.
Right.
We are more influenced by people like us than by strangers. And dentists consider other dentists' opinions more important than my opinion or your opinion, say.
Yeah. No, agreed. That was the big trick, is how do we spin that and do that so that we can get a better engagement from the people, you know, walking by or hopping into the booth.
Well, I think that's going to make a big difference. I'm going to say something that you might find slightly controversial, which is once you've done this trade show, and if you can pull off some of the stuff we've just talked about there, you may have so many leads that you may not need to do next year's trade show. I mean, you may choose to because you want to be seen in that vertical. But we did our, back in the day, we did our multiple trade shows and then we stopped, because they're expensive. I think that's the one thing you and I have glossed over here. But they are, I wouldn't be surprised if you told me you'd invested tens of thousands of Canadian dollars into this, because trade shows are stupidly expensive. But they're not expensive if you say, actually, the data we got from 2024 now, the data we got from 23, from 24, from 25, that's given us 3,000 leads. That's enough for our CSR to keep calling. Just keep calling and keep calling, keep calling and keep emailing, because you only need, you know, what do you want? One new client a month for the next 3 years?
One or two would be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And most MSPs are exactly the same. It would be overwhelming for you to win five clients this month. And the reality is, it wouldn't happen. It just doesn't work like that.
No.
So one client a month is great. And maybe you need a database of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 to do that. But as you said, you've got other verticals as well, which is, you know, this exact same strategy you can pull off with other verticals. On that, and this should probably be our final point, and we should wrap up here, Lyle, is on your website. I haven't looked at your website recently. I have looked at it in the past, but on your website, if I went on there off the back of seeing your listing in like the magazine of the trade show or something like that, would I go onto there and look at that and immediately think, this is a guy for dentists, or would I see a kind of a generic one?
There is a dental specific page. It needs a little bit of work, and we're working on that.
Cool. Okay.
How's that? We'll take that as homework.
Okay. Yeah, definitely homework. And what might be worth doing is the URL, the website domain that you promote at the show, that's on your branding. And again, it might be too late to do this year, but you could do it for next year.
Nope.
It might be worth buying something like dental. I'll give you the suggestion after the interview, because if I put it in the interview, like hundreds of other MSPs are going to go and buy it. But you buy a specific domain, and all that does is that points to your dentist page on your main website. So anyone typing in this new domain, they instantly go to your dentist page, and yeah, they can see that you do other businesses and other generics, but it takes them straight to the information they want. The other beauty of that is if you put in place some tracking, you'll be able to see how many people have come off that URL. So it will give you another measure of, hey, how many people have seen our URL? Like we used to buy adverts in the show guides, and we did the same thing. We put a tracking URL in, and when they came next year and they said, hey, do you want to spend another $1,000 on the advert like you did last year? And we say no, because we got three visitors off the back of that advert. It just wasn't worth it. I'd rather take that money and put it into something else. So it's always good to do stuff like that. Lyle, thank you so much for your time. Are there any other questions about events
I can
help you with? So just brief things before we finish off today.
I think we're good. I think I've got a lot to unpack, and it's been an absolute pleasure. I listen all the time, and it's truly a pleasure to be on. So thank you.
Coming up next week,
we're going to be looking at such an important subject that you get measured in life by what you achieve, what you get done, not by what you say you're doing. I'll explain it fully next week. Join me next Tuesday and have a very profitable week in your MSP.
Made in the UK.
For MSPs around the world.
Paul Green's
MSP Marketing Podcast.